The Better Gift by Peggy Elliott. Peggy Elliott is second vice president of the National Federation of the Blind. She is a graduate of Yale Law School and practices law in Grinnell, Iowa. Her stories have appeared in many previous Colonel books. In this volume, she tells how she overcame the thing that frightened her most when, as a teenager, she became totally blind. Here's what she has to say. When I lost my sight as a teenager, one of the scariest things for me was the thought that I had lost my physical freedom, the ability to move where I wanted, when I wanted, and to do it safely. Since I could no longer see, I was sure that I was limited to a few very familiar places. I hated the thought. This meant I couldn't work, couldn't shop, couldn't meet friends for dinner, couldn't do all the things others do, or so I thought. Fortunately, I was wrong. When I met the National Federation of the Blind, I found that I could learn to move about safely and go where I wanted when I wanted. I've been doing it for 30 years now, and I have found that my physical freedom is only limited by my own choices. Blindness doesn't limit me. Sure, learning to use the cane takes practice. But the hardest thing to learn is to trust yourself, your head, and your cane to find the path and do it safely. When I was in my 20s, I was still learning to trust myself. One experience I remember helped to teach me to rely on myself and to go for it. I was in Washington, D.C., in conjunction with the National Convention of the National Federation of the Blind. At about noon, a group of us decided to visit our Iowa congressional offices, just drop in and say hi. The buses scheduled to take us back to the convention site were to park at the very western edge of the Capitol grounds and depart at 4 p.m. sharp. No exceptions. We had almost 4 hours. No sweat. We could do it. Although, speaking of sweat, the day was a scorcher, reaching temperatures over 100 degrees, which were exaggerated by Washington's humidity and the vast swaths of concrete paving and hard surface buildings all around us. Still, no sweat. We were in our nation's capital, and were going to take full advantage of the experience. I had worked one summer in Washington, and sort of knew my way around the long and twisting halls of the office buildings. The three other people in my group were two sighted friends and their toddler daughter, riding in a stroller. We moved from office to office with my suggesting routes that kept us inside, using the tunnel system, and which would also avoid use of stairs to make the stroller's progress easier. We had a good time and enjoyed finding the Iowa flags outside our congressman's doors. We weren't watching the time that carefully. At 4:20, we emerged from the last office and took stock. We had visited every office and managed to follow a logical progression through the buildings, never backtracking, and ending up at the extreme southeastern corner of the Capitol grounds. We had a 15-minute walk ahead of us, 20 minutes to departure time, oppressive heat outside, and a child in a stroller. I told my friends that I knew a way to get from where we were to the west side of the Capitol building without a single step or curb. The path was entirely underground, and they would have to trust that I knew my way, since there would be no landmarks until we emerged from the Capitol about 5 minutes before bus time. The alternative, I explained, was for us to go overland, go down at least one long flight of outside stairs, and use sidewalks, with the necessity of crossing numerous streets to reach the bus. My inside route was smooth, used tunnels which were at angles, and would be faster if they wanted me to guide. The outside route would be along straight lines with square corners, taking longer, but they could see where they were. My two friends impatiently cut me off. They pointed out that they had been following me all afternoon to everyone's satisfaction, and would I please hush up and start leading them on the inside, smooth, air-conditioned route. We took off, flying down the tunnels of two large buildings, zooming onto and off of elevators, and emerging with about 7 minutes to spare at the western side of the Capitol. I stopped and turned to my two friends, explaining that we were now facing west at the farthest point we could travel inside, and that they should help now to pick the quickest way to the buses, since they would be able to identify the sidewalks that led most speedily to our transportation. Both my friends stood there, silent. I asked why. One replied, "We can't see any buses." "Oh, great," I thought. The buses took off early. Then I began to worry that my wonderful guiding skills weren't so great after all, and that I had brought us to the wrong side of the huge Capitol building. Neither of my sighted friends said anything, but I was beginning to formulate apologies for my failure. We all just stood there, defeated. Only I thought we were standing there defeated. Apparently my two friends were continuing to scan the area to the west that I had indicated they should study. Suddenly, one of my friends started gesturing wildly, pointing and laughing. She shouted, "Look, there are some blind people. Follow those blind people. They know where they're going." We stepped lively, followed the blind people, and found the buses hidden by foliage. We were the last four people on, but we made it. As we rode back to the convention, I thought about what had just happened. My friends had a child to protect from excessive heat, jostling, and discomfort. They had trusted me to guide them along a path which would provide maximum protection for their child, rather than choosing the route for which they would have been navigators, but in the baking sun, and with uncomfortable jostling for their daughter. When my knowledge no longer served us, they found other blind people to follow, trusting that their blind friends knew what was up. These were capable, professional people and parents, and their attitude was uniformly that they believed in the abilities of their blind friends. Sometimes even more than I believed in myself. I think that may have been the day I finally quit worrying about whether I could get around safely and do it when I wanted and where I wanted. I got the family to the bus in comfort. They gave me that last little bit of confidence to quit worrying about getting around. I think I got the better gift.